Greetings. This is Reverend Juliet Nightingale, and welcome to this transmission of Toward the Light, Leading Back to the Source. This is a program centered on near-death, out-of-body, and similar spiritually transformative experiences and related topics, including what people should know about the dying process, the many facets of after-death communications, living interdimensionally and being multisensory, intuition and telepathy, and the nature of consciousness. For more information about our organization, Toward the Light, please visit our website, towardthelight.org and towardthelight.info. We do offer a lot of services and support for people who've had near-death and similar spiritually transformative experiences, so by all means, you will want to look at our website, towardthelight.org. And we also do feature a stellar roster of special guests on our radio program, Toward the Light, and you can listen to archived shows via our website as well, towardthelight.org. This week I'm very pleased to have a fellow practitioner, one who does coaching, healing, intuitive work, and sponsoring workshops and all sorts of things. So let us welcome to Toward the Light, Cindy Miller. Hello, Cindy, and welcome to Toward the Light.
Hi, Juliet, and thank you so much for having me on your show. I'm really excited about it.
It's really an honor, and I always get excited when I find out about fellow practitioners and all the interesting things that lead one to do this kind of work. So let's start by your sharing with us a little bit about your background. I guess some of the things that happened to you, special experiences that you had that led you onto the path that you're on now. And of course, we will be talking about your Trinity Productions and other organizations that you run. So tell us a bit about, you know, a little bit of a bio here.
Sure. First of all, I never thought I'd be doing anything like this in my life. And I always say that God has his plans, and I think God is both he and she, energy, and you have yours. And this was totally just, I wouldn't believe it. And what happened for me is I was never really very spiritual or really never believed that strongly in anything. And I had a very profound experience when my father crossed over. And when I mean crossed over, I mean death, but I don't like to really use the word death because
I don't either.
There is no death.
Exactly, and we use the word transition because indeed death is an illusion, and that's part of the big lesson that people hopefully are learning, that, you know, we just transition to a new realm, to a new space.
Right.
We do not cease to be, so this is wonderful. So your father transitioned, and what from there then?
Yeah, what happened was my father transitioned, and even I was very upset at his passing, and we were very estranged. And, you know, I grew up in a crazy household, but I very much understand now that it was parents that I had chosen before coming in this lifetime. Because I also believe in more than one lifetime for us.
Absolutely.
So because, you know, we're energy, we're soul beings, we never cease to exist, we do go on. And we have many things in our soul, core being, our essences, I would say. And when he came back to me, and I was, you know, crying and sad and sobbing, but, you know, not totally out of it, he came to me and physically touched me and hugged me, and it scared the daylights out of me. And I'm like, what's that? What's this? What's that? I'll never forget that moment. And I just, like, jumped out of bed, like, who's here? And the blessing in that was, it really made me become a seeker. It really made me want to search more, know more, go, what's with this thing called life? What's with what happens to us? And just the whole journey. So, you know, there were several times I say Spirit and God was trying to wake me up, and I got it. But this was one of my most profound moments of waking up, and that really got me, you know, started as far as studying, reading, going to things, and it was just amazing from there.
When did that happen, Cindy?
Oh, I'd say it was at least 10 years ago.
Okay. Now, did you happen to intuitively or otherwise see Erfaldo, or you just really felt his presence strongly and you knew it was him?
I knew it was him. I was talking and saying, God, Dad, why didn't I forgive you? Why didn't I talk to you? You know, I came from an alcoholic background.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of abuse, a lot of things going on in my family of origin. And I had kind of just like disowned and walked away from my dad when he just couldn't, you know, stop drinking and recover. It was just really a journey in itself. So I just felt him hug me. I just sensed him. I just felt him. And like I had this energy just grab me and hold me. And I just knew it was him.
Now, something interesting I'd like to interject here, which is so relevant and so aligned with what we're talking about. Last week I had Robert Schwartz on, Michelle, who is the author of Courageous Souls, Do We Plan Our Life Challenges Before Birth? And one of the things that is addressed in the chapters, one of the chapters, is alcoholism and drug addiction. And what's interesting, as I was reading the book, and of course we were talking about it on the show, is that often souls will take on less than desirable roles for the sake of healing, growth, teaching, learning, all of that sort of thing. And as I was listening to you speaking about your father, I felt him, you know, saying, well, that indeed wasn't really me, but that's the role that I needed to take on for our mutual soul's growth. And so how interesting that is, and when we can come to understand more and more the pre-birth planning that the soul does before incarnating into this plane, and how some souls will reluctantly take on a really harsh role or difficult role or what have you. And when you were describing your father hugging you, I really felt the love there. I really felt the compassion, the soul connection, and even his feeling somewhat alienated from the role that he had taken on this plane. So, you know, that might be interesting for you to ponder and see if you resonate with that.
Mm-hmm. No, I've had my parents that I selected were perfect for, especially for the work that I'm doing now.
Yes.
Because it just helps me relate to people on so many different levels.
There you go.
I'm the healer who needed healing, and I believe we're all here to be healed. That's the other thing that I believe. And I believe we're all here to know and love God. The other thing that I believe. And there's so many things I believe. I also believe it's God first, you next, then others. And I put it in that order because I feel that, you know, if you don't take care of yourself and you don't love yourself and you're not happy with who you are, then you're not going to attract and grow and bring into your life what you really would like to experience.
Good point.
Think it's very important for us to do the work on ourselves and also know we don't have to do the work on ourselves alone. You know, we have our helpers, our spirit, you know, whether you want to work with an angel, God, a loved one. I mean, it's your choosing as far as who is infinite intelligence, you know, almighty wisdom. I base, you know, my spiritual walk on God being both a male and a female energy and a lot with the angelic realm. That's what I choose and what I know. But it doesn't mean what you choose and know is not correct either. So that's very important that I think, because I really believe spirituality is our own personal experience.
Yes, and indeed people may call it by a myriad of different names, and it really doesn't matter. The essence is what's important. You're making some wonderful points there, Cindy, and I so appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you had this experience a little over 10 years ago, around 10 years ago with your father, what happened after that? What sort of switched in you or suddenly was quickened, as it were?
Just what really happened for me was just a hunger for knowledge, a hunger for wisdom, answers to questions, more information on life, you know, purpose, really deep soul searching is what went on with me. And also, I did go to Al-Anon for a while for just recovery as far as healing is concerned. You know, that was like I started to do that.
Can you translate what that is, please?
Yes, that's for, it's for adult children of alcoholics.
Okay.
It's a wonderful, I think, an international or national organization that's an offshoot from the AA program. So I did spend some time sitting in a chair, sharing, listening. It took me a while, too, to open up. I can remember sitting for nearly 1 year just listening and not willing to share anything. And, you know, just really, you know, just taking in everything that others were saying. And then I started really opening up and, you know, asking questions and exploring more from there. Because the healing process can take us a while. Some things we heal from quickly and some things may take us longer. And, you know, life is a process. So I think when I look back and I think about it now and speak about it, you know, it's good because I remember it so well. You know, some things we rush through, if we rush through them too quickly, we don't retain it. And I think it was important for me to retain what I was getting and learning so that when I'm doing the work that I'm doing now, I can reflect back upon it and remember what that space felt like.
And there's also a way to do that in a detached manner without reliving the emotional impacts or what have you,
mm-hmm.
how it impacted you emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is really, really valid that you're doing that. And so then what occurred after that? Because I think, you know, this is wonderful. You're speaking to so many people that I can even visually see them nodding. Oh, yes, yes, this sounds familiar, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That some kind of traumatic or even a sequence of traumatic events actually will lead someone into heightened awareness.
Oh, absolutely, because then from there, as you say, the chain of events start to unfold where I was also in a very long-term marriage that I chose to end, that I was not happy being in. And that, you know, this whole, all of the things that were starting to unfold for me were like, I was really taking a deep look at my personal life, what I was creating for myself, was I happy, who was I, you know, all the, like, the deep questions that hopefully cross everyone's minds as we go through, I call playing the game of life. And that was another challenging time for me of, you know, being in a very long-term relationship and having the courage to tell the person that I had spent quite some time with that I, you know, didn't want to remain in that relationship. And things were really where I was just like starting over all over again. You know, I thought I had my life written and here I'm Cinderella in this castle and then it was like, no, she's not happy in the castle. And not to say that I'm in the castle, not, you know, experiencing other things in life. I mean, I was working and, you know, very active, but I wasn't happy and I wasn't at peace.
So when you use the word castle, is that describing like a comfortable life on the physical plane?
Like a comfortable life. You know, I had a home, I had a husband, you know, I had a car to drive. It's not like, you know, I was out on the streets, you know, I had what many people probably aspire to have.
Yes.
But I realize now that life is not about stuff. And what life is about is us and God. And it was, you know, I never was about the stuff, even in the relationship. I remember with my husband, I used to say, why do we need all this stuff? And, you know, I have to work sometimes so hard to get all this stuff. But he was more of a stuff person. So, you know, your perspective changes so much as you grow and explore on your spiritual journey and as your experiences unfold for you. And when I had ended the relationship and I had no idea where I was going to go, and I had no money at that point in time to, you know, work with, I was just like kind of like stuck in a holding place, and I was living in my home in one of the rooms. I had moved into another bedroom in my house and continuing on my routine and trying to put my life back together. And I remember as I was doing this, I had gone out with two of my friends, and they had not known each other. And when the three of us went out, it was like they had known each other their whole life, and that's where I bring up the thing about like past lives and reconnecting with souls that are familiar to us.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And they just had instant recognition and instant friendship, and they were starting to talk about angels and reading this book and angel communication, and I'm like, what are you guys talking about? Like, clue me. Like, what do you mean you're talking to an angel? It was like so like far-fetched to me. So what was wonderful is that one of the women, Diane, at my office the following day brought me in a book to read on communicating with angels. And I remember taking that book, and I felt drawn to a prayer ground that I have in a neighboring town of where I live in Connecticut. And I sat down at the prayer ground and just sitting there, and I read the book very quickly. And at that point, I got my first written communication from the angels when I asked a question. And that was just like a huge, another experience for me in my spiritual walk, like, wow, this is amazing. I can ask an angel a question and get an answer. So it was like, that was another part of my unfoldment.
Now, how did that happen? How did the message come to you?
Well, I did what the book told me to do, and to say a little prayer and to ask a question and just to relax and breathe in and just write down whatever I thought it was that they were trying to tell me. And it was as simple as that. And I do teach classes on this, and we do have a show available on this as well. And communicating with the other side, which I feel is right here. It's just another dimension right in front of us, not above us, not below us.
There you go.
I say it's like a two-way mirror is how I sometimes describe it when I work with people. And when I say the word teach, I use that too because I think we teach one another.
Yeah.
You know, everyone has something to teach. So I think we're all teachers and we're all students. And I feel that we learn all the time. And to the moment that we leave, we have something new to learn. And just when I think I know it all, whoa, something happens and it's more for me to know all over again. So the connecting, you know, with spirit, I think it's very important for people to know that anyone can connect. Everyone is intuitive. Everyone works a little bit different because we are all unique soul spirit beings, but we all have the oneness amongst one another. But how spirit may work with me and how spirit may work with you can be different as far as, you know, visual or hearing or sensing or inner knowing or, you know, we all just get worked with a little bit different. And I also share with people, you know, I'm clairaudient, so it's like what I hear, what angels say to me. And when they say to me, it sounds like what they're saying to me has been my very own voice. And I like to say that to people because it's not like it's like, hello down there. It's like I just hear in my voice back to me information, messages. And I do that on the phone, and I do it in person. And what's so powerful about that is that it's with people I've never met, and something very pertinent and real and very truthful comes out about what they're going through and what they're experiencing. And they're blown away that, like, how do you know that? And it's like, oh, and it's like, I don't know that, but God knows that. Your angels know that. And I really believe that God knows the deepest parts of our heart. And it's recognized in a session like that because Not knowing me and meeting me, and I know or I don't know, but information comes through me as a message of something so personal and so deep. It's very awakening to a person to experience that, so that they know that they are not alone, that they are loved, that they are cared for, that they are guided. So, you know, when I usually do a session, I pray, and I think prayer is so, so powerful. But I ask God, you know, whatever is the most important thing for this person to know, if I never sat or talked with them again, please let it come up in the conversation that we're going to have at this moment. And, you know, truth surfaces, and it's very profound. And I just think it's you know, I am hoping that everyone experiences that and has some type of relationship with a creator of their understanding.
Oh, and that's so beautifully said. All of your points there are so valid, and actually when I'm doing my work, I experience the same thing and I take the same approach. Mm-hmm. And when people say, oh, goodness me, that's amazing that you could see this or what have you, and I just feel extremely humbled by this, because I'm just a vessel, a messenger, and it's not really about me at all, you know.
Right.
And I feel so honored to do this work, and of course I've been doing it professionally for 40 years. So.
Right. Yeah.
And it's a heartwarming experience, isn't it, when you're dealing with your clients, both new and repeated clients alike. It's such a joy.
It's such a joy. I have cried with people. I have laughed with people. I have prayed with people. I mean, God never ceases to amaze me. And the humor that comes through, or the understanding that comes through, or the wisdom that comes through. And I always say at the end, you know, don't thank me, thank God. I am just the messenger coming through, and I'm willing to receive the message and share the message and not edit the message.
There you go.
Which is, you know, because sometimes some of the things you say, like I'll say, now this may seem kind of crazy to you, but here's what I'm hearing. And then you'll say something, and people will laugh, and they'll go, I know exactly what you mean by that.
Yes.
So that's pretty cool stuff. So, but I think God's pretty cool. So.
That's wonderful. I of course, I'm clairvoyant as well as clairaudient and all of this. Things, and I never know how something is going to come to me, but I know that the way it does come, often it will come in both ways simultaneously. I'll see a vision and hear a voice or hear a message or what have you. And it's a very important point that you're making too. It's so important not to censor ourselves or to edit the information that we receive, because even though in the moment it may not necessarily make sense to us, it is going to make sense to the client that we're speaking to. And I remember years and years ago reading a book, and I apologize, I can't remember the name of the book or the author at the moment, but the gist of what he was saying in this book is the importance of not censoring what we get as practitioners, because, again, even though it may not make sense to us necessarily, it will make sense to the client. And so we just need to be really open and allow the message to come through. And then also not to be so timid and shy and think, oh my gosh, am I going to get this right or not? You know, we just need to get out of our own way, as it were. And so you're setting a very good example of doing just that. When did you start to do this work, to actually start giving readings and this sort of thing?
Pardon me?
I was asking you, when did you start to give readings do this work?
Well, what happened was, after, like, you know, talking to the angels and getting my messages and whatnot, they told me to create a center for learning for mind, body, and spirit. And that's how Trinity Productions unfolded, which I am the founder of. I didn't say the founder, but it's a nonprofit interfaith, meaning it's all religions are welcome, all faiths and beliefs are welcome, and we came out with programming for mind, body, and spirit, because there wasn't a lot going on at that time in this area of where you could go and, you know, have a, like an aura photographer or do some Reiki or some energy work or eating organic or holistic information. So they had told me to like create this center for people to come to so they could explore their spirituality on all levels. So Trinity was founded and became a nonprofit and has offered programming, you know, expos, teleconferences, we have shows that we have available, ongoing programs, and I've been so blessed because I've worked with so many wonderful facilitators in our group who have been screened, I mean, to make sure that, you know, they're grounded and centered and, you know, they're where they need to be. And we have such wonderful people that, you know, we've attracted and brought in into Trinity. And along the course of the way of doing that, you know, I was told, the angel said to me, hey, you've got to get out there and start teaching, and you've got to get out there and start doing your reading and writing and whatnot. And that's how I really started to get into then saying, okay, now it's time for me to offer what I can personally offer through spirit as far as my work was to be. So I think one of my purposes, when people go like, what's my purpose here? What's my purpose here? I think one of the purposes for me coming through was to just to help bring this center through. I also believe our plans can change. You know, God may ask us to do one thing and we can do it and then go on to do something else as we grow and evolve and, you know, change, and there may be a new task that's given to us or an assignment. And one of the things I do, too, is there's so many things I'd love to share during this time, is I ask God or the Holy Spirit or whoever you would choose, you know, show me what you'd like me to do, or help me make this decision today, or line me up with those people and places that I need to connect with now. And that's very powerful because it's giving God more specific information on what it is that you're asking assistance with, because, you know, we've been given the gift of free will and choice, and nothing is forced upon us. So, which is great because it's just like waiting and seeing, okay, does she want to talk to me? That's how I say it. Like, she wanted to have a conversation with me. And I have to tell you, my conversations with God have been hissy fits, crying, shouting, yelling, and also very loving. You know, there's been a mix of emotions at different times. Because I am a real life woman here in Earth School as a spiritual being. So I also want to make it clear that I have my moments, you know?
Sure.
I have hormones, and I'm not making an excuse, but I will tell you that when the moments erupt, I recognize it very quickly, and I own up to it, where before I didn't. And I think that's important to share in just the relationship with myself, with others, and in my walk.
Now, so, when we were talking before, did I understand correctly that you use different facilities for your Trinity production, or do you have a specific facility, and if so, you know, tell us roughly where that is. Tell our listeners who are all over the world, actually, who'd like to know more about Trinity, and also let's take a moment to give out your website as
well. Sure, great. Trinity does teleconferences that anybody could dial into and take a program. So it doesn't matter where you are, it's just as long as you are interested in what is being shared. And then we can also bring things to you if there's a big enough demand. We'll do that as well. We try to accommodate. But we have in Fairfield County, Connecticut, we do ongoing programs. We do something in Newtown, Connecticut, in Danbury, Connecticut. We do things out in California, the West Coast as well. We have an offshoot of a staff member who's doing things out in the California area. So
California is like a country in itself.
Yeah.
Where in California is it?
Yeah, in Rancho Palos. And if you go on to Trinity Production without the S .org, it's TRINITY PRODUCTION.org. You'll be able to pull us up and see there's a calendar, there's a blog, there's, you know, a bunch of information of the things that we have going on. We also have some shows that are available. We did a set of series of six shows on near-death experiences, on animal communication, on spiritual healing, on angel communication, and astrology. And they all came from a skeptical point of view with sharing of information. So we weren't like, you know, like, you have to think this way. Because I really believe people have to come to their own conclusion and their own, you know, decision. And so I think that's really, really important.
And when you say show, what kind of show are
there? There are DVDs or VHSs that you can send for, and they're about an hour each, and they're all real-life, live people with, you know, questions and answers and demonstrations. There's chakra work. There's meditational work. There's a show on communication, on how to get a message. There's talks from near-death people that you even know, Juliet, that I know we have some people that we both know.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit, because
sure.
I was going to ask you to discuss some of the content of your show on NDE, since that is a very huge part of this radio program.
Right, right. The near-death shows, we have two separate shows, and what was great about the shows is all of the people who were guests on the shows were atheists or non-believers. So I think that's wonderful, because they're not trying to sell you anything. It's like it's so genuine. It's just when they share their experience and what happened, it's from the heart. It is so real. It
yes.
is so profound. And when I listen to them, and I never get tired listening to that show, I go, jeepers, if every church could just show this video, and I don't mean it from ego, I mean it from love. I think people's perspective sometimes, not everybody, you know, like, would realize how much God loves you.
Yes,
and,
yes, yes.
And that there is life. Our life does continue on. We don't cease to exist. You know, we're all going to be exiting. No one's escaping the exit clause.
Exactly.
So I think it's really important to have comfort while we're here, and peace, and joy on the journey of knowing it's just one of our journeys.
And as Anna Maria Hemingway would say, conscious living and dying.
Yeah.
And that's why I stress that I think that we cannot overemphasize the fact that we do not cease to be when we discard our bodies. It's
right.
just like discarding an old piece of clothing that we no longer need, because
right.
we are moving into a different frequency. And as you pointed out, it's not far and away up there somewhere.
Right.
It's all around us, but just at a different frequency.
Right.
And I just really, really love stressing this point, because how odd that something that everyone most experiences as being such a taboo,
right.
such a stigma, death. Oh, my God. In fact, I was really, really struck a little over a month ago. I gave a talk up here in northern Vermont, and this was the absolute first time this ever happened. I gave a talk to a dozen people, sharing with them the fact that death is an illusion, that we live forever, and it was very, very positive. And when we came to the question and answer portion of the talk that I always offer when I give a talk, not one person asked a question. Then when I was finished with the talk, everybody, without a thank you, without any applause, they just filed out in silence, except for one man who himself was a fellow near-death experiencer. And I thought, well, for goodness me, what was the thing, you know, of sharing that we live forever? And so one person said, you scared everybody. And I said, how could I have scared people when I was sharing the truth of eternal life? in its sort of like the statement, don't bother me with the facts, my mind is already made up. And, mm-hmm. and this person who told me, the same person who told me that I scared some of these people, mm-hmm. was insisting that when you die, that's it, end of the story, everything's mm-hmm. done, you're dead. And I said, excuse me, you're talking to somebody who has died.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no death.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, it had me gobsmacked to realize that people are just so set in their fear and in their 2x5 little world. They don't want to know the truth. And yet the truth is liberating and it brings about peace and joy. And so I found that to be really, 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 really strange.
Mm-hmm.
And I was comparing notes with PMH Atwater. She's a wonderful friend. And of course, she's been all over the map, literally, giving talks for many, many years, and I just said, this is the strangest thing that ever happened to me.
Right. Well, I think sometimes people don't want to realize their own power, and when I mean by power, I mean their spiritual power.
Yes.
I think it can scare them, and I think, you know, when people, there's some books I've been working on, and one of the books is just people's real-life spiritual unexplainable supernatural encounters, and I think because when they realize they're not in control, that changes things. It's like, what? I'm not at the switches. No, you're not in control. But not being in control, and with God being in control, it's a comforting sense of control.
One thing that I would like to add to that, too, is that the ego is not in control.
Correct.
But the soul is working in concert with the source.
Correct.
So it's not, how do you say it? It's not like one is just going to be blown about by the wind, but when we surrender the ego and align with the soul that is indeed aligned with source, then it's a completely different picture altogether, and it's amazing how things fall into place then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So true.
And so then that gives us the need to stress another point that we are never alone. And sometimes it sure feels like we're alone, doesn't
right.
it?
Right. You know, well, I call that the dark night of the soul.
Oh, yes.
You know, I've been in that sandbox back, I can remember, you know, several years ago during my healing journey of feeling, and I would describe it as being in a sandbox and getting one shovel, like a baby shovel, out at a time. You know, and I can remember just feeling like if I could just erect a tent on my bedroom and never have to leave here, that'd be great. You know, I went through that, you know, that collapse, that total emptying, you know, of not really fully functioning. And, you know, it was just such an extreme makeover that had happened. But what I must share is the makeovers that when we allow ourselves to go through them and transform, we were always there. You know, Cindy was always there. It was like, I say, it's like peeling off an onion one layer at a time and rediscovering who the heck I am and what I'm about.
Yes.
You know, and my soul essences, what I've brought in, what I'm here to do, what I'm here to experience, how do I view things? You know, now I look at my life like, why am I co-creating what I'm creating? Or what is this teaching me? Or what do I have to learn from this? And it's I know that everything comes from within. So, you know, if you don't like the externals, then take a look at the internal.
Yeah.
To see, what's causing me to go through or experience or learn. But it's not about blame either.
Thank you. I was just going to say, we need to be really, really careful not to judge ourselves or anybody else, because again, when we're looking from the perspective of the soul, and likewise, when something happens to me that's painful, I will always ask, what is the message in this?
Right.
Because there always is a message. And
right.
And it could just be that when something is painful, it's just pushing us to move forward.
Correct.
We don't need to deal with this malarkey anymore and move on. So there's so many dynamics involved with this, and I think that if we can get out of the ego and the lower frequencies of emotions that come with the ego that isn't really our true authentic selves, then we can glean the truth of what really is going on and then take it from there. So that's a, you know, these are wonderful, wonderful points that I'm hoping are going to help a lot of people, because there's so much going on right now, so much, and it's got people kind of on their toes a lot and having to think quickly. And also it's so important, again, that we don't fall into fear with these changes, but I think that this is, again, causing us to become more authentic. And I can see that that's really happened to you, as you, as all of us, really tap into and tune into our soul essence and start bringing that forward, and we become more authentic.
Right. I feel, you know, I share, Juliet, that I feel the only commodity that is really of value is time.
Is what, please?
Time. Time. You know, how we spend it, who we choose to spend it with, what we do with it. You know, it's so important. Every day is a gift that we have. And to have some type of appreciation of what surrounds us. You know, and how do we view what we see? And, you know, there's so much, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on there that's scary, but there's also a lot of stuff here that is just so beautiful.
Oh, yes.
So, you know, one of the things I've learned to do, you know, I get up now and I can say, I choose to be happy and at peace today. Or you could say, I choose to see beauty today. Or, you know, whatever you fill in, whatever affirmation you want. But we do choose to feel and be as we are. And if we choose to feel crummy, that's okay for the day, but not to remain stuck in that.
Yes.
You know, if you want to have a good cry, I mean, cries, it's so therapeutic, it's so healing. Tears are relief, but not to just be in a constant state of sadness, because I realize now that life is about joy, and life is not about us being so darn serious. You know, it's experiencing nature, it's experiencing taking the time to talk with a friend, you know, take a hike. It's that so encapsulates like the real stuff of what's going on with us as soul beings.
Absolutely. And I remember one time, this was so sweet, and it just brought such utter joy to my face. My daughter and I were taking a walk one time, just, you know, up and down the road, and you know, we'd just stop and look at people's different gardens and look at the flowers. And my daughter's very good at, you know, sharing the names of the different plants and flowers and all of that. And then from across the road, we both heard somebody saying to somebody else who was walking across the way, saying, those people are so wonderful. They always take time to stop and smell the flowers and to notice the flowers. And it just warmed my heart to see somebody acknowledging us doing that. And I think that it is important that people do take the time to stop and smell the roses, as it were. And I love to spend time by the water and being in communion with the lake, with the ocean, wherever I happen to be. Just being with nature and taking the time to breathe, as you point out also, and just be still and listen. People don't take enough time to listen, especially if they're in the city or something like that. So that's another really beautiful point.
Well, you know, as being human doings, I think sometimes we have to learn it. Sometimes it doesn't come natural to us. You know, it didn't for me. You know, the old me, the new me. You know, now I schedule in me time. I make an appointment with who? With myself. You know, it's so important for us to make an appointment with ourselves, to take care of our own personal needs. And the other thing that I think is, like, very important, like, for me, is exercise. When I walk, I'm a different Cindy.
Yeah.
You know, my energy flows different. You know, energy and walking is very detoxifying. So it's just getting things, you know, revved up and in motion. And I just, you know, I sleep better, I feel better. And when I don't walk, I'm not as, you know, I don't sleep as well and stuff. And it's like, it's part of my overall wellness program for me. You know, it's like it's taking care of what my needs are in order for me to feel and flow and feel as best as possible I can while I'm here. And I think that's very important, is for people to pay attention to their personal needs. When I'm talking about personal needs, I'm talking about emotional, spiritual, mindfulness needs. You know, I think it's very important for us to be aware of, like, what is my body trying to tell me? Or why is this headache coming on? Or, you know, sometimes, very often, when things happen, you know, I wanted to bring up, like we were talking about, you know, being spiritual. You know, being in the light and being spiritual doesn't mean that things don't happen. And when they do happen, is taking a look at what is happening and why is it happening, and addressing, you know, those needs. Very often, you know, sickness is brought on because we just don't know how to take a time out.
Yes, and that's a wonderful point you're making, too, because I've spoken with a number of people who feel guilty for taking time for themselves,
yeah,
or looking at their own needs, and I've actually made the reference to sacred selfishness, and it's not about being greedy or ignoring the needs of others, but the point that you so rightly made earlier is that if we can't look after ourselves properly, then what good are we for the service of others in the first place? So,
correct.
And that's also honoring our own divinity by doing that. So
right.
This is a wonderful and most valid point. And, you know, this brings me to realize that, unfortunately, with this horrible fraudulent religions, you know, that they teach people to feel guilty about everything, and oh my God, this is going to happen to me if I don't do this, and it's all about being in denial and self-loathing and all of this kind of malarkey, and we really need to change that whole outlook and to realize that, number one, we live forever, number two, we are all one, and we are all connected to Source at all times, even if our ego is not aware of it, that in many ways is irrelevant. That doesn't change the fact that indeed we are one with Source at all times. We are, like somebody used the term source beams,
mm-hmm,
like sunbeams. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really beautiful, source beams. So we're all source beams. We're all a part of Source.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, again, as more and more people really start to grok that, as it were,
mm-hmm,
it's going to be a lot easier to honor one's needs and to be aligned with that sacred space,
mm-hmm,
that with the soul, so that we can act from a place of love and from a place of awareness.
Very much. And, you know, I think it's so important. I go, you know, we are not here to judge.
Absolutely.
Judging ourselves and judging one another. You know, everybody's in the space where they need to be at the moment.
Yes.
You know, like being in the moment. You know, the past you cannot undo. The future is not here. And like being in the moment of now, you know, the power of now.
Yes.
But I think that's so, so important.
Now, what were some of the people?